Congregation, with the help of the Lord, I preach the word of God this evening from Acts chapter 16. Read one verse as text verse for the sermon. Acts 16, verse 14. We read God's holy word as follows, verse 14. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. The theme for the sermon is an opened heart. We also use the Heidelberg Catechism, like we have been reading from Lord's Day 25, question and answer 65. So the theme is an opened heart. Congregation, I remember a man had a ship. You know, in the Netherlands there are many rivers. There's a lot of transport by ship from Rotterdam, the harbor, to Germany, Belgium, France. A lot of ships. And the man who had a ship to transport stuff, now he's an evangelist, but then he had a ship and he was near a ship lock and such a strong current. And he couldn't control the ship like he should and wanted. But moved in a direction that would cause an accident and do a lot of damage. And he didn't know how to stop it. So the only thing he could do is pray to the Lord. Cry in this situation, which went out of control for him and would cause such a great damage, even danger. And all of a sudden, at the same moment, there was a strong wind and the ship was blown in the right direction, preventing the accident. There was an immediate answer to his prayer in a situation that was totally impossible for him. Where God showed his power to do what is impossible to man. It was a miracle, clearly experienced. I'm so thankful and gave glory to God for it. What is impossible to man is possible with God. That's what Christ is saying in Luke 18. The power of God, like a strong wind. There is such a power of God, much stronger, and God can do anything. There is nothing impossible to Him. He is the Almighty God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The power of God, especially of God the Holy Spirit, bringing life to a dead sinner. Isn't that what Scripture is teaching us and showing us? So that sinners will be saved. That the gospel is spread over this world. That the church is gathered from all nations and tribes and tongues, languages, people in such darkness of unbelief and superstition, of sin and depravity, idolatry, adultery, in those big cities in the world, in Rome, in Corinth. And there came churches. Yes, also in Rome, in Europe. How did it happen? Well, we have read it from Acts 16. That Paul and Timotheus went there to proclaim the gospel. It was not that it was on the mind of Paul to do that. No, he had other plans. He wanted to go in another direction, but he couldn't. He was a servant of the Lord, and the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, stopped him from going there, and so he had to give up that plan. And the Lord is calling and sending preachers of this joyful message of salvation where he wants and when he wants. Now here is the time that the gospel would come to Europe, like we know it now. Of course, in that days, in those days, it was part of the Roman Empire. But God sent Paul to proclaim the gospel there. It was on the mind of the Lord. It was in his plan and in his counsel. It seemed to be impossible. How could one man, Paul and his helper, how could they go there? How could they change that part of the world? They didn't even think about it, plan about it. But God did it. So in this chapter, it's so clear, we see God at work to gather his church, to save people. It's such an encouragement if you think about it, how the word, how the gospel came to Europe. Because God wanted it. His counsel will happen. He will send, and he will make the gospel prosper wherever he is sending it, according to his plan. So Paul had a dream when the Spirit prevented them to go to preach the word in Asia. They were forbidden of the Holy Ghost. And then they travel on, and then there is a vision appearing to Paul of a man. And he is calling them. He is saying and praying, come over into Macedonia and help us, people in need, in darkness. They don't have the knowledge of the living God. After he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavor to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel unto them. They don't tarry. They don't delay. They go. People in need. Souls are perishing there. And God is calling them there. Oh, what better can we do than to go in the way of the Lord? No, it was not easy at all. But that's never promised by the Lord, that it would be easy. But it would happen. And so there they go. Losing from Troas we came. And there they leave and they come to Neapolis. And then 10 miles to travel to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia. And there they go to this city and they abide there. Can you imagine to do this? Where could you start? Would people listen to you? What would you say to them? To speak the word of God, of the living God, would they not turn away? Would they simply obey the Lord? And what an encouragement that we don't have to take care of the fruit, that we have to obey the Lord to do what he is bringing to us, where he is calling us to, and just bring the word and sow the seed of the gospel where we can. That's what Paul did, using any opportunity to proclaim the gospel, salvation by Christ. And on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. So in this city it is known that it was a Jewish colony. There was a number of Jewish people living there. And they had a place to gather for prayer. And so here are some women at the riverside to pray. And that's where they go. No, there's not a big church building. The church is not in the first place about the beauty or how big a building is, but it is about people gathering to pray, to seek the Lord, to hear the word, to be saved. And so that's what they do. They use any opportunity which the Lord is giving to them. And there is a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira. It is known that in this city there was that trading in purple. So purple is used to make clothes, to give them a color, dark red. And she was trading in it. She's doing merchandise. She might have been well off, that she was, because of trading, not a lack of money. But she is praying there at the riverside with other women. And Paul, Timotheus, they go there to preach the gospel. So, but how could that change people? People have to believe to be saved. And the big question can be, how can there be faith in the heart of a person? It could be your struggle and your question. Oh, I feel like there's such an impossibility. It can feel like a wall. You know what has to happen. You have heard the word, but you find unbelief in your heart and coldness and hardness. So the Catechism is speaking about this important question. Since then we are made partakers of Christ and all his benefits by faith only, whence doth this faith proceed? So faith is the way to be partaker of Christ and all his benefits. Very nice to read this question. It's always important to listen carefully to the Catechism, not only to the answers, but also to the questions. They had a deep insight and they didn't write words without a purpose. So they say, well, since then we are made partakers of Christ and all his benefits by faith. Partaker. We need to be partaker of his benefits. No, of Christ and all his benefits. So faith, the only way to be saved, faith, a living and a true faith is faith in Christ. To be partaker of him and all his benefits. To trust in Christ includes to trust in the work that he has done. And to trust in him, to rest in him, that is done by faith. So the question tonight is, do you have faith? Is that the experience inwardly, to rest in Christ? And the question is, where does it come from? Faith. to be partaker of Christ. So you could say to be united to Him. To have a living relation to Christ. To have that wonderful unity with Him. That He is mine. And I belong to Him. That all that is from Him, His righteousness and holiness, is given to me. And all that is from me, my guilt and death and corruption, is laid upon Him, taken away by Him. Partakers of Christ. Faith is about a person, about Christ. And all His benefits. So, where does it come from? How can you have faith? That's the question. Whence doth this faith proceed? Is it something that we work? Is it something that we produce? Something that we have to perform? A certain emotion that we have to work in our lives. What is faith? Is it a warm feeling in your heart? Is it... What is it? Can you answer it? What does it mean, faith? And where does it come from? And the Catechism is answering this question. It comes from the Holy Ghost. Who works faith in our hearts by the preaching of the gospel. So it comes from the Holy Ghost. Who is God? It comes from God. That's a great comfort. If you failed to proceed faith, well, here's a deep comfort. It comes from the other side. God is working faith in the hearts. He opened the heart of Lydia. When did He do it? In what way is the Holy Ghost working faith in the hearts of people? Well, the Catechism says by the preaching of the gospel. By the proclamation of the gospel. So how do we have to understand that? Because people are sitting in church and hearing the gospel. And some will leave the church with a heart that is changed by the Holy Spirit. And some leave the church with an unchanged heart, with a closed heart, without that living faith in the hearts. Well, how is that possible? How does this work? When you read in the letter to the Romans, chapter 10, there's some more teaching about it, how faith is worked in the heart. It says in Romans 10, how then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? Because in verse 13 it says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But then the next verse says, how then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? So how shall they call on Christ if they don't believe in Him? That He is the Savior. That His work is sufficient. That He has performed what is needed for my salvation, for the forgiveness of my sins. That He has paid the price for my guilt to set me free. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? But how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Yeah, so if we remember that to believe is to trust. Well, yeah, I suppose, and I'm sure that you children, you trust your parents. Why? There was a boy in the mountains, and certain people wanted to have a very special flower. It was at a steep ramp, and they asked this shepherd boy, "Okay, we want the flower there down, and we have a rope here. So please, can you help us? You're not that heavy like we are. So we bind a rope around your body, and we hold the rope. You go down. We let you down, and we pull you up. And you bring the flower. We need it." He said, wait. So he ran away, you know. For a while he came back. He came back with his father. He said, "Okay, I'm ready now. Bind the rope. My father will hold it. I go down." You understand? He trusted his father because he knew his father. He had lived with his father. He got to know him. He had a trust in his heart, in his father. So, if there's a stranger coming, like those people are strangers to this shepherd, he didn't know them. He didn't trust them, like he did his father. Isn't that what Paul is saying here? How shall they believe if they do not know? Of whom they have not heard? If you don't even hear about a person, how can you trust that person? You don't even know that that person exists. But if you get to know that person, if that person would visit you regularly, come into your house, talk to your family, talk to you, you do things together, you get to know that person. And then there's a growing trust. If it's right, if that person is behaving well, you start to trust that person. Well, the proclamation of the gospel is that you will know about Christ. And the more you hear about him, the more the word is proclaimed, the more you get to know about him. Is that true? Did he do that? Did he really go to the cross? Did he sacrifice himself? Did he forgive Peter, who denied himself? Did he say, "Come unto me, you that are tired and heavy laden"? Did you all say that? You get to know him more and more. And there's a trust growing in the heart. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. Because the word is preached to you. You get to know this one name under heaven by which you have to be saved. And at the same time, you get to know yourself. The word is very honest about who we are, human beings. And in the mirror of the word, you get to see yourself. And you get to know Christ. And this is what the Holy Spirit is using to convince you. Oh, it would depend on me. It would be lost. I need a Savior. Oh, I'm such a guilty sinner. I need forgiveness. And then you hear in the Word of God that the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is washing and cleansing from all sin. Your heart is inclined. And you rest in it. And that work of the Spirit in the beginning will be and can be very tender. That's scriptural. There are babies in faith and youth and adults. And the more the word is coming to you, and you see it is true. Also what the word is saying about yourself. You more and more, your eyes are opened, you get honest about yourself, experience how you are, that you have sinned against God, that you cannot help yourself, that the more faith is strengthened by the preaching of the word, by the Holy Spirit. Do you see it? That it is true what the catechism is teaching here? What Paul is writing in Romans 10, also verse 17, so then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Oh, what a benefit, what a blessing, what a privilege it is to be in a church, to be born in a congregation that the word is proclaimed, that your parents did read the word daily and spoke about these things and taught you to pray, and that you know the name of Christ in the way of salvation. Do you see that it is a miracle which we so easily take for granted? Here is the only way. It's made known to you. How many are there in this world that do not know it? God has sent Paul to Europe, and the gospel is spread, and it came to North America, and now it's here in Grand Rapids. And it's clear, isn't it? There is a way of salvation by faith, and faith is worked by the Holy Spirit, where the word is preached. That's why you come to church. That's why you will never skip a service if it is possible, because this is about life or death. This is about the salvation of your soul. This is the way in which the Holy Spirit is working, from the Holy Ghost who works faith in our hearts by the preaching of the gospel. So to be saved is not by works, it is by faith. And faith is not a work, but faith is to quit your own works of righteousness, to be acceptable to God, and to sink down on the rock of ages, the Lord Jesus Christ, that only and one and secure foundation for your life and soul. So what is the problem? Maybe that's your question. Why? How can it be? There are people in church that do not believe in this Savior. The word is preached, and the Holy Spirit is using the word to save sinners. What is it? So we should never forget that this is a miracle. That's why we come to church and pray for the power and work of the Holy Spirit. It's a miracle that dead sinners are made alive. Like the Lord Jesus says in John 5, dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those that hear will live. Like Lazarus, come out! And he came out, resurrected, made alive. Oh, it's a miracle that this happens. In a certain way we can say, well, it is so easy. to lay down our weapons, to give up that fight against God, to surrender to Him, O Lord, save me. But then our pride is in the way. And that we are so carnal to give up, to surrender. No, I will work to perform it myself. I'm not that bad. Oh, other people are much worse than I am. We don't like that. To be a helpless and hopeless sinner, we fight against it. So isn't it a miracle that the Holy Spirit is working irresistibly, that He is breaking through this, and others are caught in the love to sin, the pleasure of sin? I know things have to change, and not now, like Augustine would pray, Lord, convert me, but not now. I like to enjoy sin. It gives pleasure to the flesh. I want to continue in it. If you die today, you're lost forever. What a foolishness to live that way. Oh, this is a miracle. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. But did the Lord Jesus not say that the Lord will certainly give the Holy Spirit to those that pray day and night for the Spirit? Did you pray before you came to church? Aware of your needs, not only for the first time, but continually, this life working and giving power of the Word by the application of the Holy Spirit, that the Word is applied to your heart, like we see happening here, where Paul is preaching in Philippi, and that Lydia is there, and that she is attending unto the things which were spoken of Paul. So here is the miracle. And what is the reason that she did attend? So you could also translate, she paid attention. You can sit in church and you're not here. You do not pay attention. Your mind is somewhere else. It's not that important to you. Your heart is closed for the Word. You're not interested in it. You like the things that you see in this world, the things that you can touch and enjoy immediately. And so there's your mind and there's your heart, and your heart is closed to the things of the Lord. Like Paul also says in Romans 3, there's none that seeks after God. That's terrible. If you are really honest about how we are in ourselves, we have to admit that this is true. We're interested in all kinds of things. I want to see that. I want to hear that. I want to enjoy that. But to know God, to dig into the Word, to know more about Him, that's not something that is found in my natural heart. We do not understand even the things of the Spirit of God. The natural man doesn't understand it. He doesn't seek after God. We seek after the things of this world. Power, money, things to entertain myself. That is how the fallen, sinful heart is. My heart and your heart. And here is a miracle. where the gospel is preached. It's different with Lydia. And the Lord opened her heart, whose heart the Lord opened. So our heart by nature is closed. You find that several ways in Scripture. It's like a stone. You put water on it, it will not enter the heart. You put the living water of the gospel on it, it doesn't enter. It's closed. It's a stone. It's dead. And Ezekiel says, God is the one taking away that stone, giving a heart of flesh, living heart. That's the miracle here, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. You could say that's how simple the way of salvation is. God is opening the heart. You pay attention. You have to listen. You have to know it. How to be saved. I need to know Christ. I need forgiveness of my sins. Yeah. You understand that?
Might be that you have a certain goal in your life. There's a certain occupation that you would like to get into. Certain position. A certain property that you would like to own. A certain business that you would like to run. And you pay attention. You want to know everything about it. You work and you study and you learn and you ask and you get information and you... It's always on your mind. You have to get there. It might be that that is the case with someone here or more of us.
It's so important to you.
I'm not saying that it is wrong to really have a zeal to get somewhere in this life. No, we have to use our talents. So now you understand what I'm talking about. How things can be important to you. I really want this. What about salvation? What about to know Christ? Here is a woman, and the Greek says she paid attention. She attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. Can you see her sitting there in church? Well, it was at a riverside. It doesn't matter. You have a beautiful building like here. We just sit outside like I saw people in Africa sitting under a tree. And I was preaching there sometimes under a tree in Malawi. It doesn't matter at all. It's the same word. It's the same gospel. And can you see her sitting there? There's nothing else that she is aware of. The words of Paul. She attended to it. She paid attention. She was like drinking it in. Her heart was open. The living water was getting into her heart. The words about Christ. Yes, she knew about the Jewish religion. Here is the gospel clear and powerful. Their heart is opened. And she is paying attention. Did you ever sit that way under the word? That it came to you. It was like, you were the only one in church. It was like God was speaking straight to you. It was like the preacher knew everything about your heart. God opened your heart. Oh, that we all would see that this is the only thing that is really needed. Only one thing is necessary in this life. to know Christ? Did you ever sit in church without paying attention? We all did. And it's showing that the word is true. That if it would depend on us, we would not be saved. We do by nature not seek after God. This doesn't mean that the word is teaching us not to seek after God. No. But the word is teaching us to look to the other side. Unto Christ. Unto His Spirit. Isn't that faith? That I acknowledge and admit my helplessness even to believe, so that I look unto the Lord. And here the word, the catechism are teaching us, faith is a gift of God. This is the gospel, that's why you can be saved in all your weakness and impossibility. It is the work of God to open the heart. What a wonderful word. The Lord opened her heart. Whose heart the Lord opened. It's a different history than we read in Acts 9 about conversion of Paul. Yes, the Lord has so many different ways. He fell on the ground. The light was shining around him. He was fighting against God in such a strong way. Oh, there's nothing to be proud about special experiences. If the Lord has to use such power like He did to Paul to stop him. It seems here it's such an amazing, lovely way the Lord worked in her life. Her heart was opened. She attended. She was drinking the preaching of the gospel. Here is what she needs. She's thirsty for righteousness, for the knowledge of a Savior, this Messiah that is sent by God into the world to save sinners. Whose heart was opened. The Lord opened her heart as she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. Let us sing before we continue. Let us sing Psalter 151, stanza 2 through 5. 151, stanza 2, what time I am afraid, I put my trust in thee. 151, stanza 2 through 5.
Congregation, this is the way of salvation, that simple trust in Christ and His work, to be partaker of Him and His benefits, that you rest in Him, and that you believe that salvation is pure and free by grace, and that you give up to perform to be acceptable in yourself. Oh, the Lord opens the heart to surrender in such a way to Him, so that Christ becomes all to your soul, and that such a change of life, an opened heart to receive the word, to drink this word of the gospel of forgiveness of sin, of free grace, and that cannot be hidden. When the heart is opened, the heart of Lydia, and things change in her life, her house is opened. She was baptized as a sign of forgiveness of her sins, and her household, baptism is a sign of the covenant of God, the covenant which has the content of the promises of God, and she is receiving that, and her household, her house is opened, and she is receiving Paul and Timotheus, those that labor in the service of the Lord. She has a love to Christ. She has a love to those that minister for Christ. And she is baptized, the catechism says, the faith is confirmed by the use of the sacraments. That's what the Holy Ghost is doing, working faith by the preaching of the gospel. And then it is confirmed by the use of the sacraments. So what is that? We'll see more about it later, but the sacrament, you could say, that's the visible preaching of the gospel. God knows the power of unbelief in our natural hearts. He's not only proclaiming it in words, but then also He is showing it in the signs to make it visible. You see the water? Well, that's what we use to clean, to wash. So the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is washing from all sin. That's as sure as you see the water, so sure is this promise of God. She was baptized to make it visible to her, and that the Holy Ghost would use that to confirm what she did hear in the words of Paul. And her heart is opened and her house is opened. Love to the Lord. Love to His people. Love to His servants. Willing to serve where the Lord had served her. This is the way the Holy Spirit is working. Is there anybody here who's living with an unpaid guilt, an open guilt before the Lord, who's still living outside of Christ? Why? What is the hindrance in your life? Did the Lord not provide in a rich and powerful way in all that is needed for the security of your soul? He gave His Son. He paid the price. He conquered death. He ascended to heaven. He poured out the Spirit. The Spirit is using the Word. The Lord sent messengers, preachers. He's calling them wherever He wants them. He has sent them to you. He has made it clear, did He not? So why not surrender to the Savior? Why not trust in His work?
why not give up anything outside of Him? You say, I cannot do it. It's not what you do. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. That you would look unto Christ and hope in Him and cry out for this Spirit, would sink upon this work that Christ has performed. And then there's nothing at your side that you can boast in. You're nothing more than a poor, sinful beggar in yourself. But here is a rich Christ that has provided everything. Here is a mighty Spirit, much stronger than that strong wind, blowing the ship the right direction. Here is a mighty Spirit inclining the hearts, opening the hearts to receive the Word, so that you will be saved by grace and by grace alone. From the very beginning to the end, the work of the Lord, so that He will receive the glory and your salvation is secure. This is the gospel. Trust in Christ and be saved. This is the work of the Holy Spirit, that sinners trust in Him alone. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, it's all Thy work. That's how simple it is. That's how hard it is for us. Because we are fallen in pride and in self-centeredness and self-righteousness, that we will die by this sword of the Spirit, our hearts opened, so that Christ will live in us. Like it happened to Lydia and to all Thy children. And it will happen. Lord, work in our hearts by the preaching of Thy word, by the sacraments, so that we, O Lord, will persevere by Thy grace in this faith. We thank Thee for Thy goodness, O Lord, and Thou hast made it so clear. O Lord, apply it. Be with us when we go home, that we will take the word in our hearts. It's the power of God to salvation. Lord, that none of us would perish. We know the way, that we all will walk in the way. Keep us when we go home on the dangerous roads, and this night and this new week. Lord, oh, it's so good to live with Thee. That is life. How sweet it is to know Christ, to be partaker of Him and all His benefits. We are rich in ourselves, poor beggars, but rich in Him, treasure in heaven. We thank Thee, O Lord. O, let Thy name be honored and praised and glorified forever. We pray in the forgiveness of our sin, in the forgiveness of our lack of faith and unbelief. Hear us. In Jesus' name, amen.